It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be here in studio with you today and all excited about today's show. Well, we're going to be talking about coaching as a lifestyle. That sounds interesting.
Yeah,
at least
right.
It did to me. Hey, I'm your host, Doug Gefeller. I've been a Master Certified Coach by the International Coach Federation since 1999, just 3 years after they got organized. And I've been coaching business owners, senior executives, and their teams for 20 years here in Southern California under the banner of the Coaching Perspective. If you'd like to know more about my coaching services, just go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com, or you can reach me the old-fashioned way, 714-726-8354. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. And, boy, I am excited. It has been a great week. Thanks to a guest from 2 weeks ago who referred another guest who posted information on our website. I mean, we have already booked up February solid, and we're well into March booking. So it looks like we're going to have some great shows, and you're not going to have to be sitting there just listening to me week after week. Coaching is a lifestyle. This is not a discussion for just coaches, but it's for anyone who wants to create more effective relationships in their life, both personal and career. And we're going to review how the fundamentals of coaching, both for the coach and the client, apply to any relationship. And we're going to talk about coaching as a lifestyle, as a management style, and as a profession. So let me start off by sharing my own personal bias in this area based on my experience as a coach and my corporate and entrepreneurial experience in business. You know, a common issue in business today is the question, how do I manage and or communicate with the new younger workforce? You know, it's obvious to most managers that the old command and control system, or it's obvious to most parents that the statement, just do it because I said so, neither one of those systems seems to work anymore with today's newer generations. Well, I'm not going to go into why it doesn't work here today, but I have found that in both cases, business and personal, that approaching the person from a coaching point of view achieves better results than any other method that I could suggest to you. You know, as a coach, I have found that I have increased my ability to listen, to ask better questions, to withhold judgment, to look at things from a different or new perspective, and to use my intuition, all as a result of my coaching training. So today I'd like to share some coaching practices and look at them with you as to how they might enhance your business and personal relationships. If you're a coach, this is spot on with what you need to know, basically right from the ICF core values and core competencies. If you're not a coach, this is information that is maybe new to you and maybe not new, but I'll tell you, I think that the success that I've seen managers have who have adopted a more coaching style of communication, a more coaching style of managing their employees, it has just changed their companies totally. Let's start by taking a look at the ICF, in short for International Coach Federation. Let's look at their core values. They start out with that sort of motherhood statement many companies have. We're committed to reliability, openness, acceptance, and congruence. And we consider all parts of the ICF community mutually accountable to uphold the following values. Now, to me, the key word in that statement was consider all parts of the organization mutually accountable. In other words, there's not a separate set of rules. So we don't treat the more senior executives one way and the worker bees a different way. We don't treat the daughters different than the sons at home. We set a policy of reliability, openness, acceptance, and congruency, and we hold everybody accountable to it in the same way. So there are values, four values. Integrity, we all know what that means, holding the highest standards for for your business or your personal life. Excellence, that's setting out and demonstrating standards of excellence for whatever you do, whether it's in your profession in terms of your quality, your qualifications and your competence, or whether it's in terms of your personal life. Excellence. Are you doing the best you can do? Are you striving to always do it better? The third core value is collaboration. Now, boy, that is the term that I hear more and more about every day now. Key word seems to be, as I've gone through the year end and the beginning of the year, strategic planning meetings with clients and other companies, as they set their strategic goals, they are all talking about how are we going to improve the culture of the company. And when they get down to talking about culture, one of the key things they're talking about is how do we make our company more collaborative? How do we make the employees more collaborative so they are more willing to work together? They're more willing to share. They're more willing to teach each other. How do we become more collaborative with other companies that are similar to ours in our industry or our neighbors or our distributors or our suppliers? And the same thing is true when you look at a personal situation. Are you becoming more collaborative? You know, am I going home and going, yeah, it was a tough day, don't talk to me, I've got 4 hours of TV I'm watching tonight? Or are we collaborating and talking about how things are going, what happened, what's going on? Collaboration is all about valuing the social connection and community building that occurs through co-created achievements, working together for a common goal. The fourth core competency for the ICF is respect. They say they are inclusive, they value the diversity and richness of their global stakeholders, and they put people first without compromising standards, policies, and quality. You know, how many times in business have I seen people not being put first? Companies sticking with a rule that is just a rule. It isn't an earth-shaking rule. It isn't a safety rule. It's just a process that's been around a long time. And they put that ahead of the people. They put that ahead of the person's feelings. They put that ahead of understanding the person's reaction or actions in a particular situation. That's what we're talking about in terms of putting people first, about respect, where we are treating everybody the same and we are treating them as if they are more important than anything else. Now, more important than anything else doesn't mean that we don't have standards and we don't have policies and we don't have quality. All those things are key, and as the ICF puts it, we put people first without compromising our standards, our policies, and our qualities. So that's their core values. And I think that, again, as I worked with companies at the beginning of the year, people relook at their values. Values don't typically change. But what does change over time is what work are you going to do this year to get closer to achieving excellence in the values that you've stated are your values. In other words, some years certain things need to be worked on. Other years, they're going just fine, and you don't need to spend any time on those. Well, let's take a look at the ICF core competencies. Boy, that is a mouthful. I had a hard time ever understanding that for a long time. We had a great guest on the show, but she was on the show, and she has a program taking people through and teaching them the core competencies in a way that allows them to pass their certification so they can become an accredited coach at various levels. And, you know, basically the ICF has 11 core competencies, and we're going to skip some of them, so you're not going to have to sit through all 11 today. The first is meeting ethical guidelines and professional standards, and the second is establishing the coaching agreement. And, you know, those are of vital interest and critical to coaches, but probably not so much so in our personal lives or for people in other fields. So I'm going to kind of pass over them in this discussion. I don't mean to imply they're less important from a coaching point of view, but they're not critical to what I want to talk about here today. The next competency that they talk about is co-creating the relationship. Now, what does that mean? This is about establishing, from in coaching language, establishing trust and intimacy with a client. Now, if we take it out of coaching language, this is about developing a relationship with your employees, with your boss, with your peers, developing a relationship with the people in your family, your next door neighbor, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be coach client. It's any two people. It's you in any group. How do you go about establishing trust and intimacy? Now, intimacy is a word that from a business person's point of view, you know, we get a little squirmy in the chair when we start talking about intimacy. It's, oh, Doug's going into his woo-woo stuff from coaching. I understand trust, but what do you mean about intimacy? Well, let's get into this. The way you do this is, you need to show genuine concern for the other person's welfare and their future. Do you really care about them? Now, if we're talking about family, you probably really do care about your spouse. You probably really do care about your children or your siblings. If we're talking about a work situation, I wish I could say that every manager I knew or ran into or heard about truly cared about the people that worked for them. I think almost unilaterally they all cared about getting the work done, getting the tasks done, but did they care about the people? If you don't care about them, they know. This is sort of like that thing with a dog. If the dog smells fear, you're in trouble. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. They can tell when you're afraid. This is the same thing with people. They can tell when you don't care about them. You need to establish that concern. You need to continuously demonstrate your personal integrity, your honesty, and your sincerity. You need to establish clear agreements and keep promises. And you need to demonstrate, well, let me stop right there. Establish clear agreements. You know, as a coach, the first thing that we do in a coaching relationship is I would sit down with my client, Paul, let's say Paul here, and say, okay, Paul, here's the guidelines of our coaching relationship. We're going to meet once a week. It's going to be for an hour. You're not going to be late. You're going to keep notes. It's going to cost you X number of dollars. If you can't make it, you need to let me know ahead of time. We set up the rules. You're not going to be texting while we're coaching. You're not going to be, if we're on the phone, browsing the internet. You're going to be focused on our coaching. So we set up the rules for the relationship. This relationship's going to go for this many sessions, this long, and these are the objectives that we wish to achieve. How many times have I ever done that in a personal relationship? Almost never. You know, how often do we, in a personal relationship, establish a clear agreement of what we expect from each other? And in a business relationship, do our employees really have a clear understanding of what we're asking them to do? You know, you're going to tell me, yes, that they've got a job description, that you gave them one when you hired them, and they agreed to do everything on that sheet. Well, we all know that in the first place, when the day they were hired, they probably didn't have the experience in your company to do everything on that sheet. The second thing is that probably 24 hours after they came to work, you started changing their job description by taking things away or adding things that weren't on that description. So establishing clear agreements and keeping your promises is really essential. If you can't do that, we can almost stop going through the rest of the list. You need to demonstrate your respect for the other person's perceptions, learning style, and personal being. You know, I had a client I started coaching last year. It was kind of a breakthrough for this client to understand that he needed to learn to communicate differently with certain people in his organization because they didn't communicate easily the way he communicated, that his style was uncomfortable to them. He had never really thought about the fact that I have to think about my communication style and tailor it to each individual person I meet with. Now, to some extent, we do this. You know, I'll talk louder or slower to some people. You're hard of hearing. I'll maybe talk a little louder. You don't understand my words very easily. We have a bad connection or whatever. I might talk a little slower. But we modify our communication style, our learning style, our personal being, our to the other persons. And we respect their perception of what's going on. We don't have to agree with their perception, but we have to respect it. We have to provide ongoing support for and champion new behaviors and actions, including those involving risk-taking and fear of failure. Businesses that do not allow their employees to take risks or do not allow them to fail become stagnated. Because if you don't take a risk, if you don't try a new way to do something, you're going to keep doing it the way it's always been done, and eventually that way isn't going to fit our environment anymore. Let's be prudent about this. You're in the emergency room. Risk-taking is not operating on a person in a way that you've never done it before. But in a business situation, it might involve trying a new way to do the monthly report. It might involve trying to collect the data in a way. It might involve practicing with new things on the computer. The other thing that in this relationship, establishing trust and intimacy category, from a coaching perspective, the coach is trained to ask permission from the client if we're going to talk about new or sensitive areas. It's common courtesy. You know, I've seen people do this. It's, you know, I've met people and they go, do you mind if I ask where you live? Do you mind if I ask how long you've been doing this? They're being polite. They're asking permission before the question. Same thing with employees. Would you mind staying late tonight? Would you mind coming in early? Asking permission in sensitive or in new areas. So those are some of the keys to establishing this trust and intimacy, which is key. And then we get into the three different core competencies that all fall under the category of communicating effectively. In communicating effectively, the first thing that coaches are taught is how to do active listening. This is not just sitting back. This means listening to the client, listening to the client's agenda, not just my agenda. So again, in our business and personal relationships, what does the other person want out of this conversation? Not just what you want. There's a reason they walked into your office. What is it they had on their mind? What's their agenda? Active listening means that you hear the client's concerns, you listen and identify what their goals are, you identify their values and their beliefs about what is and what is not possible. Major breakthrough in coaching is to identify that there is a strong belief by the client that what you're asking them to do is just totally impossible. And as long as they believe it's impossible, they cannot do it. The same thing is true in our other relationships. We hit walls with people in trying to get them to do something with us or for us, and we just keep butting against the wall without finding out, why is that wall up? That wall is up because the person on the other side, their belief is that what you're asking them isn't possible. So you need to identify what that is. You need to, in active listening, distinguish between the words, the tone of voice, and the body language. You know, there is so much to be learned from a person's tone of voice, from the pace of the conversation, from the silences in the conversation, and from their choices of words. I truly believe that in many cases, in most cases, my coaching, it is easier for me to do active listening with the client on the phone than it is when I'm there with them in person. When I'm there with them in person, their body language sometimes gets in the way of me hearing what they're saying. They're fidgety. They're moving around. Prime example, the producer here in the show. You know, he hasn't done it yet today, but, you know, he's pretty much got a habit of pulling out a banana halfway through the show and eating it, and there I go, you know. So really, listening to the words, the tone of voice is part of active listening. Summarizing or paraphrasing, reiterating, mirroring back is a favorite term of mine in coaching, which means that I'm going to repeat what you said. Now, in all likelihood, I'm only going to end up repeating what I thought you said. you're then going to correct me with what you thought you said, and we can go back and forth in this example until we're in agreement, and what you said is what I heard, and what I heard is what you said. So that exercise is absolutely needed to make sure that there's a clear understanding. Now, underlying all of this in the communication area is the fact that we're not in a hurry. In a coaching environment, we are dedicated to taking the time to first communicate well, and secondly, to work on what the issue is. In a business environment, most of the time, our roles, our priorities get reversed. We put number one as working on the solution, and number two, understanding the communication. Boy, doesn't that sound ridiculous? But that's the way it is frequently. We need to encourage, accept, explore, and reinforce the other person's expression of feelings, perceptions, concerns, beliefs, and suggestions. We need to integrate and build on their ideas and suggestions. What does this mean, integrate? It means that we've got to work what they're telling us, their beliefs, their perceptions, into the conversation so that as we repeat them back, they know that we understand what they said, that we heard them. That's not the same as the fact that I believe you. It just says I heard you. We need to be able to, bottom line, what that means is we need to be able to understand the essence of the client's communication and help them to get there rather than being engaged in a long descriptive story. We've had a number of shows recently on storytelling. I love storytelling. But in coaching, in a coaching conversation, whether it's a coach and a client or it is any other kind of a conversation, the story sometimes gets in the way of what we're trying to talk about. We get sidetracked with the story. So, you know, maybe you just develop, what's the bottom line here? What are you getting at? You have to be careful with this because in some cases, it may just exhibit your impatience. So when my wife is telling me a story about what went on today, and I'm going, I don't care about that side information. What really happened between you and so-and-so? I'm not bottom line in it. I'm just showing my impatience with listening to all of the information that she feels is relevant. So that's key. What you may think isn't relevant is relevant to the other person, so you need to listen to it. You need to allow the other person to vent or clear the situation without judgment or attachment and move on. Now, what does that mean? That means in a coaching call, if I'm coaching Paul here, and Paul, all of a sudden, we're talking about his relationship with some of the other show hosts, and he starts going off about, well, you know, that Doug Gefeller, he just never shows up on time. He's not prepared, blah, 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 blah. You know, I have to be able to go, okay, Paul, hold on. You've been going on about this. If it's important to you, that's fine. But I'll tell you what, keep going for about another 2 minutes, and that's all we're going to allocate to this venting. I hope it makes you feel better during that time. And he may take the 2 minutes because he really has to get this off his chest, or he may reset and go, you know what? I got sidetracked. That isn't important. Let's get back to what we were talking about. That's what active listening is all about. Powerful questions. This is usually the first thing people think of when they think of coaching. Oh, coaching, that's just where you ask a bunch of questions, you don't give me any answers. Well, it's a little bit more than that. In coaching training, what we're talking about, what the core competency of the ICF is talking about, is asking questions that reflect that you are actively listening and you understood what the client said. A question is an opportunity for you to let the other person in the conversation know you heard them and you understand what they were saying, whether you were their manager, whether you're their subordinate, whether you're their mother, father, sister, or brother. You need to ask questions. You need to learn to ask questions, not just to get facts, but questions that are going to cause discovery, insight, that are going to drive commitment or action, or that challenge the other person's assumptions. So the question needs to be tailored to what's being dialogued. So if you're telling me about how difficult it is to get from here to someplace else, my question isn't how long did it take? That's not an open-ended, powerful question. My question might be, what did you learn along the way that would help you get there quicker the next time? So we're looking to drive for more understanding, a discovery, an insight. What would you do different? That is driving for a commitment and some action. You want to ask questions that can't be answered with short yes, no, maybe kind of responses, that they require more information be given to clarify the situation. Now, all of this information that you're asking questions about isn't because you necessarily need the information. In a coaching environment, most of the time, as I get the client to explain the issue more, explain what they're talking about more by asking deeper, more probing questions, they start to understand what the issue is more. They start to see it from a different perspective. And guess what? As a result, they usually come up with their own solution. They've just been blocked from looking at it differently because they haven't really gone into that kind of depth. The last thing on powerful questions is you want to ask questions that moves the client towards what they desire, not questions that ask them to look backward or justify. You know, if we applied this to all of our personal and business relationships, this one item alone would have a huge impact. Don't ask people questions that make them, that are, cause them to reiterate the past situation and all of the pain and emotion that went with it. Ask them a question that's going to encourage them to move forward in this issue. Now, the last item in the communication is direct communication. Now, this one's fairly easy. You want to be clear and articulate in sharing and providing feedback. You want to reframe or rephrase what the client said so that from a different perspective, which is a way of, you know, sometimes it's not that I didn't understand what they said. It's I'm going to repeat it back in a different way than they meant to maybe see if they would look at it differently. And they go, no, that's not what I meant. Or no, that isn't right. Or I never thought of that. That could be. Maybe it wasn't all my fault. You need to clearly state the objectives of the meeting, the agenda, the purpose, whatever. You need to use language that's appropriate. You know, the more you can use in a coaching environment, metaphors and analogies to help illustrate the point or to paint a verbal picture, those are helpful. Now, why do we do that? We do that because when we get away from Doug and Paul talking about Doug and Paul, and we go, now, you know, if this was a situation with two superheroes, and all of a sudden the personal emotions are gone, and we're looking at a factual situation. So those are the keys to, or the core competencies that fall under the area of communicating effectively. So before we go on to learning, I'm getting waved at by the producer here. Let's take a short break and we'll be right back. Talking about coaching as a lifestyle, and we've been going through the ICF core competencies and we've gone through the first seven, and I'm going to take a break from going through the next few on the list here just to sort of keep you awake out there in the audience. Let's look at the, not different information, but let's look at it from a different perspective. Isn't that what we've been talking about? So let's look at it from the perspective of a coaching training manual and how the topics that you would find in the agenda of a training manual might apply to the kinds of things that we could use anywhere, anytime, with anyone to help create more effective relationships. The fundamental concept of coaching, which I wish everybody was a coach. Let's just get that out of the way. Not that I want you all earning your living as a coach. Let's not flood the field and put me out of business. But if everybody had some training as a coach, I'm convinced we would all work together better. We would all communicate more effectively. The fundamental concept of coaching, which really is what attracted me to it, and which attracts many, many people, is the premise that we are all, as human beings, naturally creative, resourceful, and whole, and can basically solve our own problems with a little help. All right, if we look at a training manual for coaching, it might talk about four different areas of coaching. One, what they would call fulfillment coaching. Fulfillment coaching is about helping clients to let go of preconceived rules and limitations and to step into what truly brings them alive. In a business environment, in a family environment, this is about communicating with somebody in the area of getting them to look at things differently, outside the rules and regulations and limitations, and exploring with them, what are you passionate about? What do you really want to be involved in? Coaching then moves on to next chapter, balance coaching, which is where you learn to assist the clients to develop these new perspectives and to create a plan of action that's grounded around making commitments to move forward. It's about guiding the client or the other person towards making powerful life choices and selecting the experiences they want most rather than dashing about either at the mercy of circumstances or trying to have it all. The biggest problem I see with clients is they haven't identified what it is they do want. Not happy with what I've got, but I haven't figured out what I want yet. Well, step number one, if you can't figure out what you want, we have little chance of getting there. You need to know what you want or where you want to go. That's what balance coaching is. That's the balance conversation, the balance part of our management style or our lifestyle that we want to use. This could be right out of a parenting book, how to deal with your children. It could be right out of a marriage help book, how to deal with your spouse. It could be in any manager's manual. The third area is what coaching typically calls process coaching. This is the mechanics. This is learning how to help the client work through those emotionally charged issues and to understand that although uncomfortable, chaos, confusion, and inertia are a part of real life. It's about being with the client and allowing them to move to more fully know themselves and helping them to develop a long-term purpose statement. This is where you support the other person. This is where I'm there for you. I'm with you. Let's work through this. It's been messy, but we can handle it. That's the process part. The final, what sort of core of coaching training usually provides the polish, depth, and the courage for the coach to better respond to a wide range of clients and coaching situations with creativity, confidence, and power. It teaches you how to rely on intuition to create in the moment solutions rather than applying staid techniques or rules. Let me tell you that when I went through coaching training, that almost made me quit. All this talk about using your intuition. Now, come on. When I went through coaching training, I already had 25, 30 years of business experience. And intuition wasn't part of anything I ever learned in any business class. And it wasn't part of any management manual I ever read. I had pretty much learned how to tell intuition to shut up and don't bother me while I'm working with the facts. It was a huge shock to me to learn that my intuition wasn't some mystic woo-woo voice that speaks to me, you know, out of the deep depths of the night with a magic answer. It was my years of experience, my observation of what's going on in the conversation at a depth that I wasn't even aware of, saying, hey, Doug, I think I just got a hit on this. I think Paul's uncomfortable with what you're talking about. Check with him on that. That was the intuition. Learning to use that intuition was as easy as saying, hey, Paul, is this uncomfortable for you? Am I pushing too hard, too fat? Yeah, this is uncomfortable, Doug. Do you want to keep going or you want to put it off for another day? You know, that's intuition. Now, some of the skills in this final area of learning how to deal with a variety of people are things like designing the alliance. We talked about that. What's the purpose? Holding the agenda. Identifying what's this conversation about and not getting sidetracked. Inquiry, learning to ask really good questions. Being curious. listening, active listening. We've talked about that. Using your intuition, self-management, managing your time, managing your involvement, accountability. I mean, coaching is all about accountability. What do I do as a coach? I'm the guy you pay to nag you. Why haven't you done what you said you were going to do last week? It's about collaborative partnerships and respect. Those are the things that I think, in summary here, if we could take these coaching tools, whether they're the ICF core competencies, whether they're the outline of a coaching training manual, if we could take the thing that coaches are being trained in today, if we could take that attitude of talking to people, that attitude of approaching problems and issues, and bring it into our business conversations, into our management style, bring it into our home. I wish I had a dollar for every time my wife told me, "Doug, would you put on your coaching hat?" Which was the clear sign that I wasn't practicing what I learned in coaching. I was getting emotionally caught up in the conversation, or not actively listening, or not respecting somebody else's opinion, not looking at things from a different perspective, being afraid to try something new. Any of those, the trigger in our family was, you're not wearing your coaching hat. And that changed the whole conversation every time. So that's what we're talking about today. I'm sorry, we're running out of time. I could go back and go through the rest of the ICF core competencies, but I'm just going to tell you what we didn't cover, which was creating awareness, which is how to learn things, designing the actions, planning and goal setting, and managing the whole process, okay? What I'll do is when we post the podcast next week, I'll put up a link that if you're interested in learning more about this, it'll take you right to the ICF site. You can read their definitions on the core competencies, and whether you have any intention of becoming a coach or whether you're just interested in learning how to be a better manager or how to communicate better in your personal relationships, I think this would be tremendous help to you and be a way to sort of spur you on to taking and looking at things from a new point of view. Well, like I said earlier, I'm really excited about our February show. I'm going to give you more information on the website, but right now we have guests. We're going to have Dionne Mishler, who is a sales leader. She's going to talk about sales. We're going to have Susan Sherbert, who is an author and a speaker. We're going to have Lisa Reed, who is a speaker and trainer, and Betsy Gooding, who is a attorney converted to author and life coach. So we have got an exciting mix, and that doesn't even give you a hint of the topics they're going to talk about, but fascinating people. I've really just gotten to know them, and I'm really looking forward to having them on the show here in February. We'll be dark next week, but back on the 4th of February. Well, if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, The Coaching Perspective. Be sure to check out our archives for other shows with some great guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, HR professionals to interview. Just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, this is Doug Gefeller. I hope that you've enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with new ideas, new perspectives, and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.